Welcome to Classic Comedy of Old Time Radio. I'm your host, Ron Eckelbarger. Now don't fall asleep, because here come the Bickersons, starring Don Ameche, Francis Langford, and Danny Thomas. This is the 9th episode of the series, and it is entitled The New Tuxedo. It originally aired on February 9th, 1947.
From Hollywood, it's Dream Time.
Turn it up a little, will you, Don?
Sure, Danny.
Ladies and gentlemen, the makers of Dream Shampoo are pleased to present the 9th in a series of new programs written by Phil Rapp, produced by Carlton Alsop, and starring Don Ameche, Danny Thomas, and Francis Langford, who sing...
Oh, it's a good day for singing a song, and it's a good day for moving along. Yes, it's a good day. How could anything go wrong? A good day from morning till night. Yes, it's a good day for shining your shoes, and it's a good day for losing the blues. Everything's a gain and nothing to lose, 'cause it's a good day from morning till night. I said to the sun, good morning, sun, rise and shine today. You know you gotta get going if you're gonna make a showing, and you know you've got the right of way, 'cause it's a good day for paying your bills, and it's a good day for curing your ills. So take a deep breath and throw away your pills, 'cause it's a good day from morning till night. A good day from morning till night. A good day from morning till night.
Well, thank you, Francis. For the last 8 weeks, ladies and gentlemen, Don Ameche has tried unsuccessfully to help Danny Thomas overcome his morbid fear of the microphone. Danny's condition has become steadily worse, and he remains steadfastly concealed in a broom closet. This evening, a rumor sped through the corridors of NBC that he was becoming violent.
Turn it down a little,
Don Ameche, who considers
Danny
personal star.
First time I ever saw a radio in a broom closet.
Not a radio, it's a ventilator.
A ventilator?
Sure, I can hear all the programs. I listen in while you're rehearsing, too.
You mean you can hear everything we say?
Mm-hmm.
Everything?
Every single word. I heard you this afternoon, Don.
Well, now you understand, Danny, that people sometimes say things that...
Yeah, sure, but they don't have to say them so loud and so often.
Well, honest, Danny, I didn't mean to
say anything...
Feels
funny, doesn't it? Kind of like getting your nose caught in a ringer, isn't it?
Yeah, and I wish you'd stop twisting the handle.
Yeah. Well, look, I'll let you take your nose out of the bucket if you say you're sorry.
I'm sorry. I said it 50 times.
You don't sound sincere enough. I don't know.
Well, how sincere can a man sound?
Listen, I'll show you some real sincerity. Wait till I tune in the ventilator.
Not 50%.
Listen to that.
Not 75%, but 100% luster for your hair when you shampoo with Dreen.
Now, that's real sincerity. Tell him, Toby.
Yes, never before Dreen could any shampoo bring out all the sparkle, all the brilliance, all the luster of your hair. You see, all soap shampoos leave a coating of film on hair that covers up and dulls its natural luster. But Dreen is not a soap shampoo. Never leaves dingy film. Instead, Dreen shampoo with hair conditioning action leaves hair radiantly bright and clean. Truly 100% lustrous. And what's more, Dreen does not dry out your hair. Its fragrant, freshening whipped cream leather leaves it sublimely smooth, easier to set, easier to curl, easier to arrange. And Dreen removes unsightly dandruff flakes the first time you use it. So for lovely, lustrous hair that gleams in all its glory, Dreen shampoo with hair conditioning action. Use it at home or ask for it at your beauty shop. Buy it at all drug department or 10-cent stores. Remember, never before Dreen could any shampoo leave your hair so lustrous, yet so easy to manage. Dreen. The shampoo that reveals not 50%, not 75%, but 100% luster for your hair. D-R-E-N-E.
That's what I call sincerity. Now, say you're sorry for all the nasty things you said about me and make it sound like Toby.
Not 50%, not 75%. I'm 100% sorry. S-O-R-R-Y.
Okay. Now you can beat it.
Well, I will as soon as you give me back my pants.
There they are on the end of the mop.
And now here is your host for the evening.
Now, wait a minute till I put on my pants.
Certainly.
How do you like that? A two-way ventilator. He's got him on now, Toby. Go ahead.
And now here is your host for the evening, Don Amici.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and good evening.
What happened to you, Don? You look like you've been through the ringer.
I have, Francis. I just spent a terrible half hour in the broom closet with that maniac.
What maniac?
Thomas. Went down there to find out what was wrong with him, and he locked me in and stole my pants.
He did? I wondered why you were wearing those seat covers.
Seat covers? Well, it was dark in there.
Bring them back, Amici. Your pants don't fit the Davenport.
Who's that?
It's Danny Thomas. He's talking through the ventilator, and he can hear every word we say.
This program gets more fantastic every week, but this week it sounds like the week after next. If you want me, I'll be in my dressing room crocheting a straitjacket.
Francis.
If you go past the broom closet, honey, drop in for a bucket of sush.
Shut up, Thomas.
Hey, Don.
What do you want?
What kind of talk is that?
Oh, I'm sorry, Carmen. I'm losing my mind here. What is it?
Well, I brought a guest tonight. Mr. Gordon. He's an interior decorator.
Gordon? That name sounds familiar.
It should. He's been on this program 7 times now.
Carmen, what do we want with an interior decorator?
Well, he's going to do the house I rented, and if we advertise him a little, he might knock off a few bucks.
Why don't you tell him the real reason, Carmen?
What's the real reason?
I do a song about it later.
Somebody shut that ventilator.
Get shut.
Thanks. That'll keep him quiet. Now, about this interior decorator, Carmen.
Excuse me, sir. Mr. Dragon, I hate to be brusque, but I'm a very busy man. Lots of places to decorate. And there's a Quonset hut on West
Carmen,
Adams.
Why don't you tell Mr. Gordon what you want and let him run along?
Well, I don't know if he can find the house, Don. We haven't put the number up yet.
I'll attend to it. Pink neon numerals with a blue halo. Ravaging.
Well, the house is in the middle of the block on Goober Street. You'll recognize it. Because it has a very wide back porch.
A wide back porch?
Well, it's not exactly a back porch, because it's really on the side of the house. But our front door is at the side, so that kind of moves it around.
Then it's a front porch.
No, there is a front porch. But that's way around in the back.
The front door is on the side, the back porch is in front, and the front porch is in the back?
Depends on which way you're facing, really.
Carmen, are there windows in the roof?
There were three, but we had them plastered over. Anyway, I don't think you can miss the place, Mr. Gordon. It's got a pretty vine with big yellow flowers.
A vine, huh? Does it belong to the Arbutus family?
No, I think the family who moved out was named Kelly. They left it there. Good-looking vine.
Sure. Creeping Kelly.
I'll find it. Just tell me what period the house is furnished in now, Mr. Dragon.
Well, it's kind of mixed up. In the living room, we have Louis XIV. The bedrooms are Louis XII. And in the attic, you'll find Louis Delancey.
Louis Delancey?
My brother-in-law. He lives up there with a goat.
Rather stuffy in here, isn't it? Might we have some air?
Sure. I'll open the ventilator. How's that?
That's fine, Carmen. Thanks.
Is that Thomas again?
I beg your pardon?
Nothing, Mr. Gordon. Why don't you go out and decorate Carmen's house?
Yes. Mr. Dragon, if you don't object, I should like to do the entire house in 18th century French. I know where you can lay your hands on a stunning bed.
Yeah, but he wants a place to put his body.
I beg your pardon?
I didn't say anything.
Yes. This is a 7-foot Louis the 16th bed.
Well, if you don't object, we prefer a twin bed.
Why should he object?
It's a pity, though. Such a beautiful bed. Louis the 16th.
Cut it in half and make 2 Louis the 8th.
I beg your pardon?
I didn't say anything.
Yes. Mr. Dragon, how would you feel about Duncan Pipe in your house?
Oh, we can't take any more boarders unless my brother...
Carmen! Duncan Pipe is a style of furniture.
No kidding. I thought it was a musical instrument.
I beg your pardon?
I didn't say anything. Let me close that ventilator.
Hey, wait, Don. Don't close.
How do you like that? Shuts the ventilator right in my face. Big interior decorator. What's so tough about being an interior decorator? All you need is a sense of color, taste, arrangement, design, and contrast. That's 5 senses. And what's 5 senses? Nickel. I got a quarter. I could be five interior decorators. Such a big thing. I bet I could decorate this broom closet to look just like the Taj Mahal. I could even decorate the Taj Mahal to look like a broom closet. Sure, I'll move the mops over here, drape the vacuum cleaner with a Meachie's pen. Now, this Clorox bottle would make a nice lamp, sort of give the whole thing a touch of color. And I could use the bucket for a lampshade. No, that's a little pale. You got it, huh? The bucket's a little pale. Oh, I'm murdered tonight. Oh, but I'm really an interior decorator, though. Oh, rugs, drapes, chairs, sofas, beds, they're all under my skin. Makes it tough to get my clothes on, but... such a few lumps to a great man like me. Chippendale Heppelwhite Thomas, the greatest interior decorator in the world. Gee, I can see me now in my famous establishment. And that tremendous sign outside. We fix flats. I'll show the world new designs for living. Why not? It's a free country. I'm a decorator. I mean, citizen. Now, some people make a table from a worn-out cobbler's bench. Some people make an icebox from an old grandfather's watch. Some interior decorators like 18th century French. Oh, but I always decorate my interior with 20th century scotch. Excuse me, I over-decorated. You see, I keep searching, ever seeking something new. So put your house in my hand, and here's what I'll do for you. I'll paint the walls red and purple, the ceiling blue and green, with rainbows interspersed to break the gloom. I'll do the floors in gray and yellow, but the woodwork plain cerise, so there won't be too much color in the room. Now, with every step you luxuriate, you'll sink into the rug. Instead of wool, I'll make it solid sheet. I'll put the mattress in the tub and the pillow in the sink so you can bathe and wash your hair while you're asleep. And your ceilings will be 4 feet high. If you kneel, you'll have plenty of headroom. Why, if not for my modern ingenious ideas, you know you'd have to sleep in the bedroom. I'll put the chair on the table on the couch. That'll give you all the space you need. I'll make the stove look like the lamp, and the lamp look like the stove. But you'll have to get into the oven to read. Forever hamburger. Now, wait a minute. Give me a chance. Give me a chance here. Let me tell you about my most exciting contribution to interior decorating. It was the beginning of Brooklyn Renaissance, and is familiarly known as sacrificing animated mobile formaldehyde love seats. You may well ask, what is the sacrificing animated mobile formaldehyde love seat? Look, I'll explain it to you step by step. Now, sacrificing is a divided word. Sac being a container. Rif is a native of Morocco, and icing is a sweet stuff on the top of cake. Animated is next. Anna is something left over from the King of Siam. And mated is getting married. Mobile is obvious. Mo runs a hamburger joint in Toledo. And Bill is my brother who owns a saloon. Formaldehyde starts with form, which means the shape of a person. Al is a guy in a secondhand business. D is the way they say thaw in Brooklyn. And hide is to conceal something. So, in short, my invention, the sacrificing animated mobile formaldehyde love sheet, is a native of Morocco who goes into Moe's hamburger joint where he meets Anna, who's shaped like a person with sweet stuff on top left over by the King of Siam. So he marries her in Toledo. And as they say in Brooklyn, in honor of the celebration of this connubial blister, they visit my brother Bill's saloon and wind up happily ever after in Al's second-hand joint loaded under a love seat. So if you need decoration, just leave it all to me, and you will have a house that's talked about. Now I visualize the place completed. I can see myself there now. Yeah! Richard, open the door. Let me out. This place is awful. So Jack, take me back to the shack and hack and sack on the other side of the track, 1,000 miles from Toledo, Ohio.
song was written by Jerry Seelan with special music by Carmen Dragon. Never before Dreen. Yes, never before Dreen could any shampoo reveal 100% of the natural luster of your hair. Never before Dreen could any shampoo leave your hair so lustrous, yet so easy to manage. When you Dreen your hair, you bring out all its sparkling natural highlights. When you Dreen your hair, you glamorize all its soft, thrilling texture. When you Dreen your hair, you remove all luster-dulling film and unsightly dandruff flakes. And Dreen's rich whipped cream lather leaves your hair easier to set, easier to curl, easier to arrange. Yes, never before Dreen could any shampoo reveal 100% of your hair's natural luster. And never before Dreen could any shampoo leave your hair so lustrous, yet so easy to manage. D-R-E-N-E, Dreen Shampoo. To the music of Carmen Dragon and his orchestra, lovely Frances Langford sings Temptation. Don Ameche and Francis Langford as John and Blanche Bickerson, with Danny Thomas as Brother Amos in The Honeymoon Is Over. The Bickersons have retired. Mrs. Bickerson dozes in fits and starts as husband John, cursed with the rarest type of insomnia in the annals of medical history, fights another losing battle during an acute stage of his chronic malady. Listen.
Oh, not again. John, John, cut it off.
Cut it out, Blanche.
Stop that foolish giggling. What's the matter with you?
What's the matter, Blanche?
You're giggling like a girl at her first party. What are you dreaming about?
Party girl.
What?
What? What'd you say, Blanche?
I'm just not going to stand for it. One of us is going to have to sleep in the kitchen.
Take the blanket with you.
I'm not moving. If you're going to snore your head off and giggle all night, get out of the bedroom.
Blanche, why don't you leave me alone?
I'll bet I haven't had 10 minutes sleep all night. And then I had a terrible dream.
Too bad.
If I ever dream again that you kissed Gloria Gooseby, I'll never speak to you again as long as I live. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Oh.
What?
In front of a whole room full of people, too.
Blanche, have you gone crazy?
Don't try to get out of it. Everybody saw you.
Nobody saw me. You dreamed it.
That's a pretty poor excuse, John Bickerson.
I don't have to make any excuse. I didn't do anything. Can I help it if you dream I kissed Gloria Gooseby? Can she help it?
I noticed she didn't try to stop you.
She never tries to stop me. I wouldn't kiss Gloria Gooseby if she were the last woman on earth. I hate Gloria Gooseby. Now, are you satisfied?
Maybe I am, but you're going to have to explain to her husband, Leo.
Explain what?
There would have been an awful fight. Lucky for you, I woke up just as he came in.
What are you going to do with a woman like that? You better see a psychiatrist, Blanche.
That's right. Try and make me believe I'm crazy. Have me put away in an institution. Lock me in a padded cell.
Nobody's going to lock you in a padded cell.
Let me spend the rest of my life in a restraining sheet. Nobody to talk to. Always alone.
Blanche!
Why don't you come and visit me, John?
You're putting on this act to ruin my night's sleep. You've succeeded.
My brother Amos warned me about marrying you.
Amos.
Believe me, I'm finding out plenty now. The things you said when I first met you. Such promises. Before you married me, you told me you were well off.
I was, but I didn't know it. Good night, Blanche.
We barely have enough to eat. Everybody makes a good salary except you. Why don't you get a paying job?
Oh, now, don't go maligning my job. It pays fine.
The minute I ask you for an extra few dollars, you jump down my throat.
Listen, last month you went to the doctor three times. You got fitted for new glasses. You had two teeth pulled. $70 for your own private pleasure. You think I'm made of money?
You're the one who wastes it. You throw it away on silly things.
I deny myself everything. I save every nickel I can. How do I throw money away?
Didn't you pay $22 for that fire extinguisher?
Well, certainly.
We've had it a whole year and never used it once.
I'll set fire to the house in the morning.
Why don't you return it and get your money back?
Okay, I'll take it back tomorrow.
You say it, but you won't do it. Take it back to the store now.
What?
Go on, get up and take the fire extinguisher back.
Blanche, you must be out of your mind. It's 2:30 in the morning.
Wake the man up. He has no business selling it to you in the first place.
Blanche, as sure as you're born, if I take that fire extinguisher back, the house will burn down.
I wish it would. I hate this pest hole. My pantry is overrun with ants.
Ants in your pantry.
You talk about wasting money. We could have had that lovely bungalow in Westwood if you hadn't insisted on buying an automobile.
Oh, a man's got to have an automobile.
But that bungalow is only a stone's throw from the bus line.
Got no time to throw stones at buses. Blanche, all I want to do is sleep.
Sure, sleep your life away. That's the trouble with you. You have no initiative. Look at Mel Shaw. He came to California 6 years ago without a dime in his pocket.
Mm.
He borrowed a basket from a hardware store and peddled little statues from door to door. What do you suppose he's worth today?
Nothing, and he still owes for the basket. Blanche, it's almost 3:00.
Amos has the right idea. He's in politics now. He's running for assemblyman in the 5th Ward.
He couldn't run for dog catcher.
I'll bet he'll be elected. You'll see. He's a good politician.
What do you know about politics? You've never even voted in your life.
I did yesterday. 8 times.
8 times?
Amos showed me how. It's so simple. All you have to do is use a different name each time. We copied them off tombstones.
A political ghoul. Now, you stay out of that racket. Do you hear me, Blanche?
I think it's a wonderful business. You ought to go into politics, John. There's a fortune in it. I read only yesterday where some senator was put in jail for grafting $100,000. Why don't you do it?
Go to jail for grafting?
No, be a senator or something. Maybe you and Amos could be the next governors of Georgia.
Now I know what they mean by strange bedfellows. Why don't you let me sleep, Blanche? You know we're going to have to be up late tomorrow night.
What for?
What for? Have you forgotten it's my boss's silver wedding anniversary?
Heavens, is tomorrow Monday?
Yes, tomorrow's Monday.
I'll have to put you have your blue suit pressed.
It's a formal dinner. I'm wearing my new tuxedo.
It won't be here until Tuesday.
It's here now.
No, it isn't.
It is, too. I looked in the closet yesterday.
Did you look today?
I don't have to. Tuxedos can't walk away.
I'll let Amos borrow it.
That's fine. You what?
I lent your tuxedo to Amos. He's making a campaign speech tomorrow night at the garbage men's ball.
Blanche, you didn't. You didn't
dare give that no-good tramp my new tuxedo.
Don't you call my brother a tramp.
Now, look,
you've got
Blanche.
A lot of nerve, John Biggison, to take such an attitude towards a man who's putting himself out in order to make life easier for his constituents.
Blanche!
It's a formal affair, and you can't expect him to attend in a business suit.
But it's all right for me to go to a formal affair in my overalls, huh?
Now, don't get hysterical.
Oh, why do you do this to me? I saved for 6 months to get that tuxedo. I gave up my lunches. My money. My $100 bill.
What's the matter with
you? Oh, this is the end. I had a $100 bill in the breast pocket.
Where'd you get it?
Everybody at the office chipped in to buy the boss a present. I was holding the money. Blanche, if Amos finds it, I'll never get it back.
Maybe he won't find it. Go to sleep.
Go to sleep? I'll be branded a thief. He'll never believe me. I can't call him up. He'll suspect something's fishy. He probably found the money. Maybe he didn't. I'll wait up all night. Can't sleep now anyway. Never sleep another wink as long. Hello, hello. The phone's dead. It's leaking.
Put down that bottle of bourbon, silly.
Oh. Maybe it's famous. Maybe found the... Oh, no! Oh, put the lights on.
The lights are on. You're in the closet.
Oh. Hello?
Jacko, this is Amos.
I think you found it. Hello, Amos. Are you dressed?
Why would I be dressed at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Well, I figured maybe you were making a campaign speech. How's my tuxedo? Does it fit?
Sure, it fits fine. I had the pants shortened a little.
Uh-huh. I don't think he found it.
Oh, it's a swell tuxedo, Jocko. A nice, roomy pocket.
He found it.
In the pants.
He didn't find it. Did you try on the coat, Amos?
No, I left it at the tailor's. I'm having it let out a little.
What's the tailor's name? Quick.
What do you want to know for?
Well, it's the wrong coat. They gave me the wrong coat. I'll take it back and send you the right one.
Oh, it's the right coat, all right, Jocko.
It is, huh? You found it.
What are you mumbling about?
Nothing. How's the pockets in the coat? Are they roomy?
They hold enough, I guess. Oh, the reason I call is to tell you I won't be needing a tuxedo after all.
Oh, you won't, huh?
No, I'm giving up politics. I found an easier way to pick up some dough.
That settles it. He's got my $100.
What?
I was talking to Blanche. I'll pick up the suit in the morning.
Okay, Jocko. Good night.
Drop dead. Now what do? I don't know whether Chislett found the money or not. I won't be able to sleep.
Oh, go to sleep, John. He didn't find the money.
Oh, how do you know, Blanche?
Because I went through the pockets before I gave him the tuxedo.
Honest? Honest, did you, Blanche?
Of course I did.
Oh, thank heaven. You've got the $100.
No, I haven't. I bought a new evening gown with it.
Oh.
Good night, John.
This is Toby Reed reminding you, for lovely, lustrous hair, use Dream. No other shampoo, only Dream shampoo with hair conditioning action leaves your hair more lustrous, yet so easy to manage. Listen next Sunday for another pleasant half hour with Don Ameche, Danny Thomas, Francis Langford, Carmen Dragon and his orchestra. And now here is Don Ameche wishing you good days, good nights, and good luck until we meet again. Everybody's talking about Dreft, the greatest dishwashing discovery in 2,000 years. Dreft, D-R-E-F-T, Dreft, Procter & Gamble's sudsing miracle that gets dishes so clean they shine even without wiping. Yes, it makes even glasses sparkle like jewels. Dreft simply can't leave any streaks on dishes the way all soaps do. Why, with Dreft, your nicest glassware positively shines. Dreft is kind to your hands, too. Get Dreft in the bright green package. That's D-R-E-F-T, Dreft. Dreft.
Thomas appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of the new murder mystery, Lady in the Lake. Ladies, it's more important than ever that you save kitchen fat every day, every mealtime. To help get more soap, fabrics, and other items you want and need, save those fats. The need is urgent. The reason, sound. And dealers now pay more per pound.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Please send your questions and comments to host at classiccomedyotr.com. Come back next Monday for another episode of The Bickersons and check in on Wednesday for the next installment of The Bob Hope Show. Please go to our website, classiccomedyotr.com. Click on the Become a Patron button or the Donate button to support our show. Thank you for doing that. Until next time, in the words of Albert Camus, nobody realizes that some people expend tremendous energy merely to be normal.